Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 24, 2022. Between War and Peace. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, February 24, 2022. The war between Russia and Ukraine leaves me bewildered, uneasy, and mainly worried, very worried. I have many students in both countries, and I care deeply for all of them. These two nations that have lived side by side for so long, have so much in common. They have been through a lot, but I didn't think that they would end up in an all-out war. As unfeasible as it may seem today, the only solution is still to rise above our egos and unite, since in the end, it is only the ego that sets the tone in this conflict. Unless we, all the people, not only those in the embroiled countries, rise above our egos, the war will spread to other countries and will have horrendous consequences. As former Deputy Commander-in-Chief of NATO Richard Sheriff said, the situation could turn into a catastrophic war. On a scale not seen in Europe since 1945. Precisely because two nations that have so much in common, religion, intermarriages, and more, are emphasizing what divides them, I see the situation as ominous to the entire world. They are building a wall between them in their hearts, which will be very difficult to break down later. But for all the hatred that is now erupting, in the end, we will have no choice but to rise above it and unite. Despite the agony and exploding rage, the war will hasten our realization that our only chance for happiness is not through destruction of others. Negativity has never produced positive results. This is why eventually, all the parties will succumb to exhaustion and despair, and agree to try the path of mutual consideration, and even mutual concern. I hope and pray that it will come soon and with as few casualties as possible. When my teacher, Rabash, passed away, he left behind many notes where he wrote down his thoughts. After some years, I published them under the title Assorted Notes. Below is one that seems particularly pertinent today, and which I titled Love of Others. I look at one tiny dot, called Love of Others, and I think about it, what can I do to help people? As I look at the public, I see people's suffering, illnesses, pains, and the suffering of individuals inflicted by the collective, meaning wars among nations. And besides prayer, there is nothing to give. My new article on LinkedIn, Play Your Way Ahead. Why do little children play even when they are sick? How come grown-ups hardly ever play? Playing is no laughing matter, it is the single most important tool in our development and growth. Lion cubs play hunting games. Fawns hop, run, and chase each other in what looks like their version of tag. Each species plays the games that develop its survival skills. It may seem like carefree fun to us, but playing is essential for the survival of the young, and the survival of their species. Children, too, play, and for the exact same reason. For children, learning survival skills means imitating the grown-ups around them. This is why children play at being parents, doctors and patients, and other meaningful persons in their lives. By mimicking their behavior, they learn the skills they will need later in life. Today, the meaningful persons in our lives are very different from the ones that children knew before the advent of the internet. Today, those meaningful others can be, and most often are, people we do not know, who live very far away, and whom we will never meet. But because these people have made a name for themselves and became media idols, children imitate them the way they would previously imitate the most influential figures in their lives. On the one hand, this openness to the world exposes children to values and ideas they would never have encountered otherwise. On the other hand, it makes them susceptible to negative influences that parents cannot monitor because social media enables anyone to consume any content, and parents cannot control what their children see on their mobile phones. As it is with children, so it is with grown-ups. Grown-ups games, even if seemingly harmless, such as computer sports games, do not develop them. They serve a different purpose, to pass the time and numb the mind. It is the opposite of development. To ensure the proper development of children, and the continuous development of teenagers and adults, we should mind the games we play. As children, we need to learn more technical games in order to hone technical skills. For adolescents and grown-ups, the games should revolve around human communication, in order to polish our communication skills. Only when we learn to communicate and collaborate with different mindsets and different viewpoints can we thrive in a diverse society such as the human society. A society where people do not play is a stagnant society and its days are numbered. A vital society is one where people change and develop, and this can happen only if they play games that challenge them to develop and grow. Challenging ourselves to connect with people from other cultures and perspectives, and bonding with them above the differences enriches us, and enriches our partners in the game. If we want to develop in life, learn, grow, yet stay as vital and as vibrant as children our entire lives, we must never stop playing. Michael Leitman, on the Times of Israel, Why We Do Need So Many People in the World. At the start of the 20th century, the world population was roughly 2 billion people. Today, it is roughly 8 billion. Of those 8 billion, most are poor, and over a billion people are hungry to the point of starvation. Providing for so many people at a decent level seems too formidable a task for Earth. Moreover, each day, more bots, robots, and automatic machines are replacing human jobs. Humanity is producing enough to provide for everyone, so the question is why we need so many people. Would Earth, and humanity, not be better off if we were only 4 billion, for example? The truth is that we wouldn't be better off, we would be much worse off. There is a good reason for the exponential growth in humanity's population over the past century or so. When we look at people, we see faces and bodies, human beings, and nothing more. But the truth is much more complicated and intricate than that. Try to imagine any animal without relating it to its environment, and you will realize that it is a lost cause. The shape, color, behavior, size, longevity, and every other aspect of its existence derives from the environment where it exists. Animals are not isolated from their environment. They rely on it, follow its laws, and at the same time make up the environment that sustains them and of which they are a part. Humans, too, make up a system. We think of ourselves as isolated individuals, but we are actually parts of a global human society. We influence it, it influences us, and almost everything that is true for the animal kingdom is true for us. There are only two differences between animals and people, though they are fundamental differences. The first is that people are inherently mean and selfish, while animals are not. The second is that our desires grow and intensify, while those of animals remain largely the same. While we want more money and power the more we have of them, animals settle for what they have once they have had their fill. Worse yet, from generation to generation, we are becoming more greedy, domineering, and narcissistic. Conversely, animals' aspirations do not change from generation to generation. Give them enough grass, or enough game, and they are happy campers. The reason why our desires grow while those of animals remain the same is that an increased desire makes us accelerate our development. Eventually, humans are not intended to perceive only the physical existence, but to penetrate through it and perceive the connectedness and interdependence among all of us, not only intellectually, as I am explaining it here, but in the senses, just as we perceive the physical world, if not more so. Our constant desire to search, explore, discover, and learn stems from our aspiration to know the deepest levels of reality. That knowledge is the sole prerogative of humans since only people develop such profound desires. As our desires grow, We must learn to direct them toward discovering the purpose and structure of life. New desires first appear on the crassest level, and we must cultivate them, raise them to the level where they enhance our perception of reality. Because these desires are so intense, we need more people to share the load. As just said, although we feel isolated, we are in fact one system. Everything we think is ours is actually part of the system of humanity, and all of humanity shares it. Therefore, our desires are also not personal, even though they feel as such. Every time we elevate one desire from the corporeal level to the higher levels of perception, we influence all of humanity. And every time a person dies, the burden of elevating our common desire grows heavier on all of us. This is why the life of every person is precious. It determines the pace of advancement of all of humanity. If we realized how deeply we are connected, and what harm we cause by mistreating other people, if we felt it as it really is, that we are torturing ourselves, we would not dare mistreat each other or leave one person uncared for. My new article on LinkedIn, "We Can Still Lift Up the World." There have always been clashes in humanity. There have been clashes between countries, between North and South, or between regimes and ideologies. But the clash today is deeper. It is a clash of nations that are unwilling to accept one another as they are, and want to oppress one another. Yet it is not too late to lift up the world from its decline, and we, the people who understand the value of diversity, are the only ones who can do this. To build a peaceful world society, we need people to appreciate diversity. Only people who seek connection above differences can build a society that grows stronger the more it becomes diverse. Everything that has survived the test of evolution comprises opposites that complement each other. From the atomic level to the most complex structures in the universe, everything consists of opposites that collaborate to create a strong structure where one element compensates for what the opposite element does not have. Therefore, if you destroy your opponent, you also destroy yourself. As long as we maintain the attitude of "only I am right," the world will continue to deteriorate. It makes no difference who is right. An approach that does not include all parties, claims the sole right to the truth, denies its opposite, its counterpart, thereby voids its own existence. Think of day without night, love without hate, spring without fall, or kindness without cruelty. None of the positive terms would exist if their negative opposite did not exist. Likewise, our entire world would not exist were it not for the balance between opposites that complement each other and compensate for each other's shortcomings. As precarious as the current situation is around the world, it is also an opportunity. Now we can circulate the idea that only by accepting, and even embracing our opponents, can we ourselves thrive. The growing political tensions make us attentive for any sign of reason, and the sound of reason today must declare that war to the end means the end of everyone. I hope and pray that in this war, reason will win. What is our VUCT, mutual guarantee? Question: what are the spiritual needs for which a mutual guarantee, our VUCT, is needed? Answer: we must build a spiritual key in which we can feel the upper world and the Creator. To do this, we need to be in connection with each other. Correct connection is called mutual guarantee. The ascent of each individual above his egoism is called faith above reason. Maybe you need to listen to the same lesson several times, try to collect what is said in its different points, and then you will have an inner understanding, knowledge, and feeling. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 9, 2022. Working in Mutual Responsibility, Lesson 6. Why are we together? Question: what can we fill our neighbor with? What can we bestow? Answer: there is only one thing we can do for our neighbor. He is striving to rise to spirituality, and this is what we wish for him and want to help him in this. I don't need to take him to a restaurant. I need to help him in his spiritual ascent, because that is all he wants. And that is all I want. That is why we are together. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 6, 2022. Approaching the Creator through the Network of Connections Between Us, Lesson 1. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how important to development is a father figure? In the words of Sigmund Freud, I could not point to any need in childhood as strong as that for a father's protection. The importance of the father figure is embedded in nature and our biology. A child who grows up with a distorted fatherly presence, whether the child experiences abuse or neglect from the father, leads to certain distortions that become part of them for the rest of their lives. On the contrary, a child who grows up with a positive father figure accordingly absorbs a positive influence. In our times, since the human ego has reached overblown proportions, in order to be a positive father figure to a child, men need to undergo an educational process that gives them the ability to rise above their egoistic drives and consistently exercise an altruistic attitude to other people, including their family. If speaking in broader terms, then we can also say that humanity's lack of feeling for its father, that is, the Creator, the upper force, is the cause of every problem that we experience in our lives. If we felt the caring attitude of our Father the Creator, the upper force, which begets and cares for us, at every moment, then we would bear witness to a completely different, positive, harmonious and peaceful world. However, it is impossible to feel such a presence with our inborn properties, because we would then possess no free will. We would feel the full love of the Creator, but we would also be subordinated by it. We thus have no such feeling, and it is in order to be able to act freely, that is to develop a similar attitude among each other in society as that of the upper force toward us. Until we do so, we will keep finding ourselves in a world that is full of increasing problems and crises. Based on the video The Importance of a Father Figure with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman and Semyon Vinoka. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. How can you feel the friends? Question: how can we create an artificial relationship template that will force us to demand to actually feel the friends? Answer: you should talk and communicate with each other more. You can even write down what you are talking about. And you will gradually develop a common language. You will begin to understand each other more and thus get closer to each other spiritually and internally. Everything will come from this. You will begin to feel the Creator. So you need to work on it. Question: is it possible to outline a certain format that we would like to implement? Answer: you can agree on mutual guarantee between each other, then fulfill it, and each time correct this agreement, make it ever growing. Please, do it. You are mature people and you must understand what state you are in, what you should come to, and build your rapprochement to the correct state step by step. This is serious work for both men and women. And the Creator helps us, by alienating us, dividing us, and thereby promoting unity. Both in this and in that direction, a little bit of plus and then slightly increased minus, then more plus than minus, and after that more minus than plus. And so we go, gradually increasing the amplitude. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 9, 2022. Asking the Creator to fill the place between us, Lesson 7. Give a friend a chance. Question: if a friend does not bring the spirit of joy to the group, does it mean that he is not working? Answer: that is correct. He is not concerned about the group or thinking about his friends. The right attitude toward friends is first of all to encourage them. Question: if a friend admits that he does not envy anyone in the 10 right now, How can he advance? How can the group help him? Answer: we need to work on him. There is nothing you can do here. Give him an example, talk to him, maybe do something else. You need to increase your connection. The more you work with each other, the more it will affect him, and you are yet to see what will become of him. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 8, 2022. Deriving the greatness of the goal from the Friends Lesson 4. Feel the Creator between us. Question: how can we reach the feeling that the Creator fills the whole world and act this way toward our friends? Answer: if we connect with each other in the 10, then we will feel that the Creator fills the whole world. We need to create our personal clique, group vessel, and achieve such a connection between us, that we begin to feel the revelation of the Creator. This is the most important thing. Everything else is only transient. It is very important to unite in such a way that the Creator, the quality of love and bestowal, begins to manifest between us. And it will be revealed above our egoism. This is called faith above reason. Question: every path involves calculating the start and end point and identifying the shortest distance. What is the meaning of faith above reason in this trajectory? Answer: if you go by faith above reason, then you take the shortest path from Mulkhut to Bina. And all this is done only by annulling and submitting yourself primarily to the group. To the extent of your submission to the group, you call upon yourself the illumination of the upper light, which moves you forward. From the International Convention Rising Above Ourselves, January 8, 2022. Going with Faith Above Reason, Lesson 5. Filling the Place of Lack, an Exercise in Mutual Relations. Question: a woman feels that she gives a lot at home and to the family. All that giving makes her feel that she gives and gives, but has nothing, that she has no air to breathe and that she does not receive anything. How can this be explained? Answer: there must be mutuality. The family members need to learn what they are doing in order to receive from her so that she feels that they receive from her and thus fill her as she fills them. This is something that we need to learn since we lack the common feeling. This is what usually happens in relations between a husband and wife. Each one thinks that he or she gives to the other, but does not receive anything, or does not understand what he or she receives. Question: is there perhaps an exercise that each of us can do in order to advance? Answer: we need to learn every day, constantly, since it is about a person's attitude to life. During our life, from the moment we were born, we receive tips only as to how to develop our ego, that is, a one-way system. What we need is to constantly see the mutuality in our relations, how we connect between us. And actually, in the middle, between us, we need to reach such relations in which we do not need anything from each other. We need to develop give-and-take relations so that, besides the ability to give to you, I receive from you only in order to show you how I feel, since I need you. Question: what do we actually give to each other? Answer: only a desire. Each one gives others a desire, and thus we develop good and right connections between us. In fact, none of us needs anything except the right attitude. Suppose everyone has everything, but one needs someone to give to, someone to care about, and from whom to receive mental fulfillment. I need to look at the other and try to give him the feeling of participation on my part in order to fill their desire. My participation is not in a material sense, this is not important, but rather, it is mental fulfillment. By doing that, we will feel that there is not only a connection between us, but also a relationship in which we cannot live without each other. Today we already feel mutual dependence between us, and we are going to reach a state in our evolution in which each one really feels that he needs all the people in the world in order to give to them, to open their hearts, and to give them his care. And what will the person himself be filled by? By the fact that others are ready to receive from him and vice versa. Then we will reach the state in which we will all truly provide each other with unlimited fulfillment. From CAP TV's New Life, October 31, 2021.